Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Welcome to Long-Term Care podcast. I am your host, Bilkis Ali. I am an RN and Certified Director of Nursing and Administration in Long-Term Care. I am also the author of Welcome to Long-Term Care Book 1 and 2, as well as the Welcome to Long-Term Care Companion Planner. And I create online courses to help us thrive in the world of long-term care. So let me just tell you, within these last 2 weeks, it has been beyond busy from a staffing perspective. Okay, so I have worked as a CNA, an LPN, an RN, and that is just because of the staffing crisis. So that is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about staffing, and then we're going to talk about abuse and regulations. So I just want to make sure everybody knows when I'm speaking about regulations, where I am getting that information from. Okay, because there are some people who don't even know how to get this information. If, you know, if they're new to long-term care, if they are new in their position, such as a DON, an ADON, and unit managers. You know, a lot of unit managers just aren't aware of the regulatory standpoints and how that affects us and or enhance us to improve our quality care because of the regulations that we go off of, along with the facility policies and procedures. But I just want to say, I had the pleasure, and I'm going to say pleasure, because I'm sure you know, like, CNA work is by far hard work. Okay, they are definitely underpaid and appreciated. So I just want to say to all my CNAs, I so appreciate you. And those who know me, who have worked with me, know that I sincerely mean that because of the staffing crisis right now. So I, like I said, I had the opportunity to work literally as a CNA on the floor for the whole day. And like I said, you know, you always take an opportunity to assess situations. So during that process, I was able to educate on infection prevention and control practice, how to handle linen, assessing the skin. So I also utilized that time as a learning and teaching experience for the staff that I was working with that day. Now, did I get on their nerves? Yes, because we were trying to hustle and bustle and get through the day. And here I am pointing out things like, listen, I know you're doing an excellent job. However, just make sure when you're doing this, you know, don't put the linen on the floor. You know, take some bags with you. You know, make sure you're providing privacy, keeping the, you know, making sure, you know, we're respecting them and, you know, being, letting them be dignified. So I know they were just ready to be like, Bilkis, like, seriously, like, we're drowning here. We can hear two craps about what your policies and procedures are right now. We're just trying to get through. So I was trying to stay out the way, but I was letting them know I was there. And I mean, I was sweating. Okay, so my DONs, my ADONs, unit managers, you know how it is. If you don't, you know, get on an assignment one day and, you know, see how they work on that floor. Be observant on how they provide care. You know, you can also, this would also be a good opportunity if you were to be a facility who kept having facility acquired UTIs. You'll be able to see how they're cleansing. If you're a facility who's having in-house acquired pressure areas, you'll be able to see why, because of this, if it's a staffing issue. And then while you're in there, just take a look at the environment. Okay, you'll always hear me talking about the environment, what it looks like. You know, checking the cushions. Do they look clean? You know, are they on the appropriate cushion? You know, the appropriate mattresses. We had to switch out some mattresses because as I'm providing care, I'm like, oh no, this person needs a new mattress. So it was actually a difficult day, but it was a day that I felt so productive. I felt like, okay, you know, I got to learn more hands-on with the residents and, you know, learning their likes and dislikes. So I used that as an opportunity. You know, so although, you know, when we get into the workplace, we have a plan. But like I said, when you walk into long-term care, you just never know what you're going to walk into. That's just what we're dealing with right now because of everything that we're going. If you're, like I said, if you are a facility who are constantly on the weekly testing, bi-weekly testing, then you already know you're going to have to start predicting that you're going to have some staff challenges. You're going to have to start predicting that, okay, if I go in today, I might have to be a nurse. I might have to be a CNA. Or heck, you might even have to jump in the kitchen and be on a meal tray line. It has happened. And that's not even during the COVID crisis. That was just during, you know, when you are outsourcing for your facility contracts, when you have like people who are doing your dietary services or your housekeeping services, when they aren't fully staffed and you have their staff not show up, I have been in situations where I had to jump on that that tray line. So you just never know how you're going to what you're going to walk into. The only thing I can say is, of course, we want to just be as professional as we possibly can. And, you know, just go with the flow. Some things happen beyond our control, you know, and we just have to learn to adapt and move on. This too shall pass, I promise. Okay, so like I said, I mean, I was wore out. When I tell you I was wore out, I was wore out. And then on yesterday, I had the pleasure of working as a med nurse and on the COVID unit, and it was busy. I mean, you know, your patients, they go quickly so fast. So I highly encourage of making sure that you have just one nurse strictly for those residents because they turn quickly. And I learned that early on when I got my first COVID case at my facility, another facility. You know, they go so fast. So when I was on that COVID unit, I was like, okay, I have 7 patients. But let me tell you, that 7 felt like I had 20 because of the medical side of it, what I had to do from a medical standpoint because of the, you know, there was this clinically complex, you know, so having, you know, making sure you're having the staff over there for the, you know, for those residents. And if you're the DON and your staffing is good, then just go down there, be that support person, be that extra set of eyes, try to see if they need anything because, you know, it's constant assessing, calling doctors, calling families, making sure, you know, everybody is aware of the changing condition. If a changing condition is noted with that resident. So the more support you can provide, of course, is the better. And today, when I went in, I had the pleasure of being a vet nurse again today. And I was like, wow, you know, but that's what I said, you know, in long-term care, things happen and they happen beyond your control. People call out, you know, we have, you know, it's just a revolving door right now. You know, their facility staff, they're burnt out. You have agency staff, they're burnt out. And so you just have to kind of jump in and do the best that you can. And I just say, I'll give 110% and I'm going to handle whatever I can handle in front of me right now. That is the only thing I have control over. Everything else is irrelevant. Okay, so just get in the habit of just, you know, handling what you can handle right now. And like I always say, everything deserves your 100% attention. So whatever you're doing at that time, make sure you're providing your 100% attention. When you're in with that resident, make sure they're getting 100% of you at that moment. Okay, so hang in there, guys. This too shall pass. I want you to know that I still do work the floor. Yes, I do. Okay, so, you know, this week has definitely been exhausting. And I fell right to sleep when I got home yesterday and I didn't wake up till I even overslept. That's how exhausted I was. All right, so it's hard on the body. Practice self-care always. Okay, so I got a message and it was about abuse and someone needed some steps on, you know, if they're reporting it or if they're investigating it. I just want to put this information out there just so everyone knows of what I follow when I'm talking about the regulatory standpoint. I utilize the State Operation Manual, Appendix PP, the Guidance to Surveyors for Long-Term Care Facilities. That is my Quran. Y'all say Bible, I say Quran because I'm Muslim. That's all I read. I read that, I live by that. Okay, and I just keep it updated. Like, you know, I make sure that, you know, I'm always on the CMS website because they, you know, they update information. I'm always on CDC website because they're always updating information. And I just, like I said, I'm constantly learning. You know, I learn something new every day. And I just, you know, continue to perfect my craft. Okay, I'm never going to be perfect, but I just try to be prepared as possible and be aware of situations that I know are coming about. So when it comes to abuse, you know, that is your anything from, I think it's F600 to F610, I believe. You know, so just look over those areas because there's different areas of abuse that they talk about. And it even goes down to your screening processing for your new hires when they're coming to the facility. You have the failure to report, you know, a suspicion of a crime or failure to, you know, investigate. But, you know, what I want to stress is when you are speaking in terms of abuse, you just need to make sure, not you just need to make sure, but it is highly important that you protect your resident first. And that is the one thing I want to stress. Never leave the employee that is suspected of the allegation in the facility, especially with the resident, for a prolonged time. Okay, so the minute that you find out the allegation, if the employee is in the facility, you want to protect the resident, remove that resident or remove that staff member. You want to speak with that staff member. You want to have someone assess the resident, get a resident statement. You want to get the staff member statement, whoever is involved, before they leave. Okay, you want to try to get that information before they leave because you want things to be fresh in their mind. You know, a lot of times they go home because they might be sent home from like a supervisor or something. And then the next thing you know, they can't remember or anything like that. So you want to get their statement. Then you want to suspend them. Then you want to, do your reporting to whoever you need to report to, whether it be your DOH, your law enforcement, your area on aging, whatever it is that you need to report to. Okay, now your investigation, once you put that report in, you're going to say put in pending. From there, you're going to start your investigation. Now, I like to interview residents who have a MIMS of 13 to 15 and on anybody who was on that assignment. Okay, you want to just interview people to see if they had any type of concerns regarding a staff member. You want to talk to other staff members. You want to just get a general idea. And you can probably even ask people who have events of like 11, you know, simple questions like yes and no. But, you know, for other ones, you know, try to do a thorough investigation. All right, you want to identify the root cause. And don't be so quick to jump to say, oh, it's a customer service issue. Okay, because a lot of people do try to say, oh, I just think they have a customer service issue, and that's not the fact. Okay, that's not your investigation will conclude that in the end. Okay, after you do your investigation and then decide that, but don't do it the day of and say it's a customer service. Okay, be proactive and do a full investigation. All right, so then, you know, when you do that, and after you have 5 days to do your report into the PB22, and then you decide if it's substantiated or unsubstantiated. And then, you know, you meet with that employee again, and then you kind of decide what the outcome is going to be. Okay, but, you know, of all things, I just want to stress the fact of making sure that you protect the resident first at all costs. Make sure you protect your resident. Okay, so that's what I wanted to talk about on the abuse side of things. Again, you can always go to the State Operations Manual, Appendix PP. And like I said, I use that all the time. I promise you, I read this every day, which is how I know regulations like a lot, because I read it like, you know, like I'm studying for an exam is what I said once. I read them all the time. So they're like second nature for me. You know, so just get in the habit, and, you know, when you're having your nursing meetings, you know, just get in the habit of bringing up a regulation. When you're in your clinical process, bring up a regulation. But always, whenever you're having your staff meetings, always talk about abuse. You can never talk about abuse too much. I always will talk about abuse, and I will always talk about incidents and accidents, which include my rounding, because it was like a lot that you can cover. But abuse was always talked about. All right. And you, like I said, you can never get too much information. You have to think about people have learning barriers. People are habitual. You know, they have a force of habit. And then, you know, we have a lot of different cultures, you know, so, and then now, especially right now, when we have with the temporary nursing assistant, that 8-hour course, if you haven't taken that, you know, 4 to 6 week CNA course, and you're not really having a thorough abuse education, I highly recommend that you go over it even more when you have the temporary nursing assistants, because they, you will find that they really don't understand the abuse side of it. You know, so when you're doing those checkoffs, for them to go on the floor, just keep talking about abuse, and go on the floor with them. go on the floor with your temporary assistants, anybody who gets hired in that position, especially if they were an outside person, meaning they weren't from your dietary or housekeeping department inside of your facility. So if they were on the outside, like coming in as a new applicant, definitely I would highly encourage rounding with them, being on an assignment with them before they are off on their own onto the floor. Okay, be it, pay attention to the verbiage, how people talk. It's going to be heavy, you know, a major area, because they might not know that, no, you don't talk to people this way. That's deemed verbal abuse. You need to, you know, watch the tones, watch how you, you know, speak and respond to the residents. You know, they're not going to know all of that because they didn't go into the in-depth class like that. All right. So that is what I wanted to speak on, abuse. I hope everyone have a wonderful rest of the week. It is the day of inauguration. I'm sure everybody has watched it today. It was all on the TV today with my residents and they were just loving it. So everyone have a wonderful rest of the week. Again, my name is Bilqis Ali. Stay safe and mask up. I will talk to you next week.